Aren't you glad that God is our oasis? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is once again to enter the sanctuary of the Lord. How many of you come to have a church? How many of you come as part of the church? Well, we ought to have a wonderful time tonight. I hope the rest of you determine whatever it is you're here for. You'll discover it before we get out of here tonight. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's so good to see each and every one of you here tonight. I know the weather's just a little bit rough on the outside, but that ain't got a thing to do with us in here tonight. We're going to have church regardless, right? Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Might have to walk around a little bit, but that's okay. Tell them you're glad to see them at the house of the Lord tonight. Boy, play some more. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a minute, I want to pray for Sister Janet Lehman. Has bronchitis, been very sick. I want to remember her as we pray tonight. I want to pray for Lee Fillers, who has requested prayer from this assembly. Also continue to pray for Brother Tracy, that the Lord would just give him strength in his body. I know his desire is to be in the house of the Lord. I want to pray for Randy Fields from Phelps, Kentucky, very sick. And in desperate need of prayer, so let's remember that need tonight. Sister Lisa Riddleball sends this in to please pray for Brother Don, Brother Sean, little Sister Abigail. They're battling fevers and flu-like symptoms. Thank you, and may the Lord bless. So let's remember those folks tonight. I want to pray for Brother James Walls. He's in the hospital with heart problems. Let's commit him unto the Lord. Ask God to be with him. Sister Janet Kennedy sends this in. My Aunt Ellen Talkington needs prayer. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and had surgery, but still has a lot of treatments to go through. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request as we pray tonight. I also want to pray for Sister Rachel Estep. She's having a lot of pain in her leg, so let's remember that need tonight. And a couple of, maybe a week or so ago, I requested prayer for a friend of mine. Tim Peer is his name. He's a manager of a supermarket in Kingsport. And he went to the doctor, and they told him that he has a rare form of cancer. They've only seen one other case like his in this part of the United States. And he just, a young man in his 50s and just got a family that's devastated. But I told him there's a lot of good people going to be praying for him. And he wanted me to tell you that he certainly hopes so, and he appreciates it with all of his heart. So let's remember all of our brothers and sisters from around the world that's in need tonight. We're not the only part on all of it, but thank God, aren't you glad you're part of it? We're part of what God's doing in the world tonight, and I'm so thankful, and I know you are. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We're just committed all unto God. How many of you know that we're serving a prayer answering God tonight? Brother West, would you come tonight if you would? Let's invite his presence into this service and ask him to have his divine will in all these requests tonight. Brother West, God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Father, unless you come in the next couple of days, we're going to be starting into a new year, Lord. And Lord, we're just trusting you for the grace and the mercy to walk through it. And we love you so much, Father, for all you do for us and the way you watch over us and know about every little need, every little thing, every concern on our heart, Father. You're aware of it. You show us your love so much, Lord, by being a part of our lives and taking our needs into your care. You've proven yourself to us so many times, Lord. We can trust you with all of our heart. Our brothers and sisters that lay these prayer requests here tonight, Lord, we agree with them in the name of Jesus Christ for these requests. Lord, we know that you are a healer. We trust you as that because we've seen it so many times. Your testimony is real. And you're a God, Lord, that doesn't hide behind the shadows, but you come right out to the forefront, Lord, and you let us see you time and time again, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the way that you care for us and the way that you minister to us, Lord. We thank you for our brother who's coming tonight to speak the word. Lord, we just ask that you speak through him and you help us to grow closer and closer to you, Lord. Father, again, we thank you for what you're going to do for each one of these requests, Lord. There's so many of us that are sick, that are unable to be here, that have family members that are sick, that have so many things that we've been facing, Lord, but you're carrying us through each and every one of them, and we're just patiently waiting for you to come. We're calling for you to come, Lord, because we long for that union, Father, when we can once again be with you. Until then, Lord, we're going to gather in your name. We're going to praise you and worship you and love you and lift you up, Lord, so that all men can see you. And we love you, Lord, and we just ask for your blessing on this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for the blessing. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Aren't you glad that something keeps holding you? May I say this tonight, Brother Jimmy Babb, back in service with us. We thank the Lord for touching Brother Jimmy. Praise the Lord for that. I know the other guys in the library are glad he's here too. It's been a workload on their shoulders, and I know they're glad to see him back also. I don't know if she's here tonight, but Sister Boone, she's been very, very sick, and she was able to be in this service here, I believe, on Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken. And just want to thank the Lord for Sister Boone. She's a staple of this church, I think. She's just a precious little sister, and we love her very, very much. Glad that the Lord has touched her also. Let's sing it tonight. Something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad about it? Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, oh, helping me faithfully overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Lord, it's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Sing that chorus again. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, oh, helping me faithfully to overcome all my trials. Yes, he is.
He's giving me victory.
Oh, the sweetest victory. It's a reality. Jesus is holding me.
The trials of this world were getting closer. Was more than I could bear. Oh, and when I was on the verge of giving over,
oh, yes, we were.
Cause the strength within myself just
it
wasn't there.
Oh, but I like this church. Oh, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see, oh, he's helping me faithfully
leading me. Satan lay before me.
Oh, yes, he does.
His temptation.
Yes, he does.
His desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I have found just in time the revelation. Jesus is the strength I need to keep me in His grace. Satan lay before me his temptation.
Oh, yes, he has. How many of you have ever been right there?
His desire to steal away my faith.
Tonight, now you've got a pass the last three or four services. We had a lot of different things going on, and you didn't get to sing much. Now you're going to sing your little hearts out tonight, and I want you to help me. We're part of a church that's rising up. Are you glad you're part of it? Lord, we've got 14 in here that's glad they're part of it. Are you really glad you're part of a church that's rising up? Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I know you don't pay a lick attention to me when I talk to you, but I don't care. I'm going to talk to you anyway. No, you don't. Just say the truth, brother. And hey, nobody pays no attention to a thing I say, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you anyway. Are you glad you're part of a church that's rising up? Give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. I want you to help me sing it tonight, church. Oh, we're rising up. We're rising up.
Rising up.
Lord, we're a New Testament church.
Rising up.
Sing back.
just the dawn in a winning hand. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down. The Bible plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out.
Yes, they were.
In the jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band.
I love this part right here.
But if you think it's all long gone,
oh,
all the miracles are done,
yes,
I have some good news to bring to you. In his last days he'll pour,
yes, he
of his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew. Restore Malachi for church, and we're rising up.
Rising. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Somebody say, yes, we are.
Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. You're just singing so good. I hate to ask you to stop, but we're going to go on into the service. Usher's done come, got the offering, I see. So God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Brother Harry's going to give us a song tonight. We're going to go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Let's just enjoy our singers tonight.
I thought I already did a song. Well, I ain't got no voice, but praise the Lord. Brother West mentioned his prayer there a minute ago. You know, 2013, who would have thought it? But I'm glad that even in this crazy mixed-up world, we can have peace. I haven't sung this in a long time, Brother Brad. If you got the only real peace, you put it up on the board. If you got it, everybody help me. F, I think. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. In all life's frustrations, I need you. I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said. But I'll not complain, 'cause I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. But many's the trials my wants and my dreams put me and the only real peace that I have.
that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace I frustrations, I need you. I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The higher I've soared in my dreams, the harder I fall. And sometimes I've wondered if dreams are worth dreaming. But my disappointments can't keep me blinded and blue. Not when I'm reminded of the sweet peace I have, Lord, in you.
That is. No peace like that, are they? Let's turn, if you would, to the book of Romans tonight, chapter 4, verse 7. How many is happy to be the house of God?
Amen.
I didn't say in. I said the house of God. I want to speak to you tonight on the power of confession. Power of confession. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Listen to this again. I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Amen.
Now, Paul actually sees the rejuvenation or the changing of Abraham's body as a resurrection. And he actually sees it a foreshadow of Christ's own resurrection. Now, watch this. Who against hope believed in hope? That's my daddy. Do you understand the New Testament talks about Abraham more than does Paul? Do you understand this man right here was named more in the New Testament than any other individual? Why? Because he was such a great man. It's like this man had something somehow from supernatural world that hardly anybody else even understood. Now watch him. Who against hope believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Is this man a nut? Yes. And a father of them. Glory. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was a shouter too, wasn't he? Giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now let's break away from the Baptist idea and the Methodist idea and the Lutheran idea that simply believing God on God is imputation to righteousness. And let's pull it into the true perspective from the revelation of this man who preached it. Therefore, it. What? It what? What we just read above in these verses. It was imputed to him for righteousness. A man that can believe God like that is a righteous man. Oh, I want to be that, don't you? Let's pray together if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father, for these great passages of Scripture that we have just read. We know it was this book that actually started the transformation in Luther's thinking. Being raised a Catholic, being embedded in these doctrines of Catholicism, but once he began to read about Abraham, something began to move in this man's soul. And what we know today was the Reformation. We're so grateful. And Lord, if it did that to a man that was in such darkness and it changed him, and even after it did these things, he was still in much darkness. What ought it to do to us today? When the evening light has come back and brought the full restoration of the Word. I pray you would help us as we look into it tonight, Father. May you teach us, Lord. May you take our hearts, our minds. May it be opened up. May the supernatural, I pray, come in, which is the mind of Christ. May you speak to us, Lord, like you can only do. No one can speak to us like you can. Take our hearts tonight. Make them fertile ground, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate the privilege we have to be together tonight in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, there's a lot of folks sick, a lot of folks out traveling and all that. You know what? I think since we're here, we probably ought to go ahead and have church.
Amen.
What do y'all say? The Lord is here. Angels are here. Y'all went ahead and took time to get ready, and I took time to get ready. So what do you say we just go and have church? We'll forget about going somewhere to eat afterwards and going here and there. Let's just concentrate and focus on what the Lord might have for us here tonight. I believe he's got some really good things. Things that will benefit us. Now, when you go to looking about confession, you always, because the scarecrow has been put before us of the positive thinking and the Christian Science thing, which many of you probably have read about and know a little bit about what they believe, and that's always there to upset the minds of the people, but yet we know it doesn't change the truth of what God has in his Word. So we don't want to really focus so much on the negative part and all that other thing, but what we want to look at is what is the benefit for us as the people of God God of what He has in store for us as His children. Now, when we look at Abraham and knowing that God had promised this man something that was so phenomenal. Now, remember, Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a Gentile. Abraham was a heathen. His background was an idol worshiper, so it wasn't that he was something real supernatural, special above other people, but he was chosen by God. So God had given the man something, an endowment of supernatural, an ability to be able to believe. And when you look and see how he believed God with no more than what he had to believe with. Now remember, he didn't have a written Bible. There was not one promise that God ever gave to him that he could read out of the Bible, unless Abraham himself might have wrote it down somewhere just to be an encouragement to him along life's journey. But he did not have a Bible, an Old Testament, a New Testament. He had no tapes, no MP3s, no computer, no software program to search up all the promises of God. But he did have a revelation and a faith of what God had made known to him. No, it was so real to him that it was beyond human explanation. It was beyond human understanding and human comprehension that a man could believe such a promise with so many negative things working against him. But there was something about it. Abraham just believed as if though he had a divine deposit from God that helped him to believe as if God believed, which really is what he had. Now, it was something that he was able, beyond all of his human things, all of the negative things, that he could look right at the promise of God and believe that God said it. Not only that God said it, but that God would absolutely bring it to pass. Now, whenever you think of this man and how that in the Old Testament is a great thing. But under the New Testament, when the men of God were anointed by the Holy Ghost to be able to write and to frame the way that Abraham believed, it's almost unbelievable that a man in the Old Testament without a new birth would be able to believe beyond what many people with a new birth can be able to attain to even now. Now you say, how in the world could he do it? He didn't stagger to promise of God. He didn't question the ability of God to bring it to pass. He didn't even understand the time nor the season, but somehow he believed God would be able to do it. Now notice this in chapter 4 verse 19. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now notice how he says this, being not weak in faith. So Abraham was not weak in exercising his own faith as far as believing that God could do it. He was not weak in the other aspect of not only believing that God could, but that God would, and God would do it for him. No matter how many other people that God was dealing with at the same time on the earth, Abraham focused his mind, his soul, his entire being on the promise that pertained to him. Now, he did not knock everybody else out and say, well, I'm the only one going, and I'm the only one God's dealing with. There might have been other people on the face of the earth. We don't know. But the focus was for Abraham, God is dealing with me. And this is what God has told me, and this is what's going to come to pass in my life. Amen. Now, I love for us to be able to look around the world and see that God is dealing in Zimbabwe and South Africa and China and Japan and all these other parts of the world. We have a part of all that. Thank God for it. But yet when it comes right down to it, I want to know what God has promised for me as an individual. I want to help others achieve to what I can. But when it's all said and done, I want to know what God wants for Donnie. And I want to accomplish that in my life, don't you? Now, look at this word that he did not consider. Consider not the deadness of his own body. To behold, to perceive, to consider attentively. To fix one's eyes or, fix one's eyes or mind upon. So Abraham did not sit around and think about how old he was. He actually didn't sit around and think about how impossible it was and think about how dead Sarah's womb was and think about how impossible it was for her to be able to give a baby suck. Think about how impossible it was for her to go into childbirth. Think about how impossible it was for her to carry a child and think about and think about and think about. But he thought about one thing. God will bring it to pass. Now, he could have thought about that. That would have been the more natural, sensible way to think about it. And if he would have, the promise would have never come to pass because every bit of that was totally negative and against the promise that God gave him. Now, notice Paul then says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I love the meaning of this word. Worn out. Worn out, to deprive of power, destroy the strength of. So he was just flat wore out.
Man, here I am, 56 years old, and I feel like that sometimes. So you're saying there was a man 100 years old. He was wore out sensibly. Common sense would tell you there's no way for him to father a child. No way for this woman to have a child. No way for it to happen. He didn't even consider. Now, look, friend, this is a very delicate thing for us to get balanced, because when people go to hearing this and they're thinking about positive and talking positive, it's very hard to keep it balanced in our mind, because we want our testimony to be positive. And then folks will say, well, am I supposed to say if I'm sick? Am I supposed to say I'm sick? If I'm dealing with this, am I supposed to go to the doctor? Am I, if somebody asks me, well, how you doing? Am I supposed to say everything's fine, everything's fine? Now look, Abraham was not absolutely a religious fanatic. Abraham was not the type of guy that went around saying, I'm 18. I'm 18. Sarah's 18. If it was wrong to say Abraham's body was dead, the Bible wouldn't have said it. So the Bible didn't say Abraham's body wasn't dead. The Bible said Abraham's body was dead. And the Bible said Abraham's wife, Sarah, her womb was dead. So that was not wrong. What would have been wrong was for that to be Abraham's testimony. Now, he was not denying the fact that his body was dead. Now, if you get sick, you get afflicted, so you not go to the doctor? Brother Man said, sensible people will. Well, if you got something wrong with it, should you not take your medicine? Sure. If that medicine's been proven to help you, man, I pray over every one of them, swallow it in Jesus' name. Right. If there's something helps you, take it. Oh, yeah. Well, what if folks ask me, well, how you doing? Say, well, the symptoms, some of them are still there, but by faith, I'm going to be well. This is not my testimony. I'm going to be completely cured. Now, look, friend, what many people get into, I'm not sick. Oh, I'm not sick. I'm perfectly fine. And they're saying, is that a new way to express fine? I mean, maybe I'm missing something. But you make your testimony by his stripes. I'm healed. I'm getting over this thing. The symptoms may be hanging on, but they ain't going to hang on for long because he's healed me. Let that be your testimony. Abraham didn't go around and say, Sarah's not old, I'm not old, I'm strong, I'm well, I'm perfectly well. No, it was a fact. And Abraham was able to acknowledge that his body was dead. That didn't hinder him at all. It did not hinder him at all to know that Sarah's womb was dead, that Sarah could not possibly bring forth it, but that was not his testimony. Well, Brother Donnie, the doctor said this and the doctor said that. Well, that's the best the doctor knows. Well, when people ask me, should I tell them what the doctor said? Sure, tell them what the doctor said, but don't make what the doctor said your testimony. Your testimony is not what the doctor said, but what Jesus said. You understand? Now watch this. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, wore out, deprived of power. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's son, didn't even consider it. Now it wasn't that he didn't know it was there. It wasn't mind over matter that he said, well, you know what? This won't even bother us at all. He knew it was there. He got up with aches and pains. He got up with all types of things around him, but his thought was not on that. His consideration, his attentive consideration was not on how dead he was, how dead she was. His attentive consideration was on the promise of God. His testimony was, how you feeling, Abraham? Praise God, we're going to have that baby. How you feeling, Sarah? Not one bit different. Glory to God, Sarah. Don't you doubt it. We're going to have that baby. Now look, Brother Branham, when he uses that, he'll say that over and over again, that Abraham kept asking Sarah, how are you feeling? And she'd say, no different. But that didn't affect Abraham. Abraham's testimony was not no different. Abraham's testimony, Sarah, don't you doubt it. God said so. We're going to have that baby. Now, watch this. He did not regard. It was an absolute fact. A fact that his body was dead. It was a fact that her womb was dead. But that fact was not his testimony. It might be a fact that there's a cancer on the x-ray. It might be a fact that there's sugar in your body. It might be a fact that there's this and that and the other. That don't affect your testimony. Look, friend, let's get balanced so we can know how to deal with it. Don't flop over on the other side and say, well, I'm not supposed to say I'm sick no more. I'm not supposed, no, you say those things. Sure, the doctor say you got sugar. Well, that's what the doctor said. But Dr. Jesus ain't told me that yet. So if I have to take a shot for it, I'll shoot myself and self in Jesus' name, and I'm going to get better from this thing. This shot ain't my testimony. This prescription ain't my testimony. I consider not the diabetes test. I consider not the MRI or whatever that you're dealing with in your life. Now watch this. Brother Abraham, in the faith of Abraham, has said, now Abraham didn't pay any attention to how old he was, how dead his own body was. Now notice he never said Abraham didn't say it wasn't there. Abraham didn't go, I'm not dead. I'm alive. Well, I'm not 100 years old. Really? You sure look like it. You talk like it. You act like it. That wasn't what he wanted, what he done. But his testimony was, I'm going to somehow bring forth this boy. He might not have even known he was going to get a body change. The Bible doesn't say that God told him that. He just looked at the problem. Abraham, how you doing? We're going to have how many children you got now, Father? Father Abraham, well, I ain't got none, but glory to God, I'm going to have one. Look what his testimony was. His testimony didn't change the facts. He didn't look around and say, well, I guess everything's fine and dandy. I'm a Christian Science. Abraham wasn't Christian Science. He was a believer. I don't think you can be both. Now watch. Brother Bam says how dead his body was, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He looked to what God said and kept praising God for what he had promised. I love this one here. He said, Abraham knew that his body was as good as dead. You mean Abraham knew that? And it was not unbelief for Abraham to acknowledge, I'm an old man. My body is dead. Now I'm going to tell you something, friends. You can think you're having positive confession and positive faith. When you go to the doctor finds all kinds of things with you. And you say, glory to God, Jesus ain't got sugar. You ain't Jesus. Jesus ain't got back trouble. You ain't Jesus. You're an unredeemed mortal as far as your flesh. And you can take that attitude if you want to, and we'll be burying you. You think you're taking faith? You're not taking faith. That's ignorance. Abraham did not say, I'm not an old man. He acknowledged, I am an old man. Praise the Lord. I'll acknowledge that, and I ain't but half his age. Whew. But that wasn't his testimony. I am going somehow to bring forth this child. Look at this. He said, Abraham knew that his body was as good as dead, but he considered not his own body. Isn't that amazing how he was able to divide? You realize that the truth is always in the middle of the road. And when we hear a truth, many people go to this side with it, and many people go to that side with it. I want to be right in the middle. It's the trash that gets washed off on both sides. You and I want to be right in the middle of the road. We want, if we have trouble, we want to acknowledge it. How can we make our request known at church? Pray for me. I got so-and-so. Pray for me. The doctor said this or that, but don't let that be your testimony. Well, I'm depressed. I'm going to be depressed. No, there's where you're crossing the line now. Oh, I've always been depressed. Everybody in my family's depressed. That ain't what God wants for your life to be. Notice this. A young girl, he had married his half-sister, lived with all these years. And now she's 90 years old. He's 100 years old. He didn't even... How can you not think about being 100 years old when you're 100 years old? How can you not think about it unless somehow you reprogram your thinking? We'll get into it a little bit more in the morning, but you realize when God made this human being, he made quite a wonderful creation. In your mind, it's divided into two regions. Two realms. The conscience realm and the subconscious realm. A very intellectual person will use 5% of their conscience capability. This 5% is what dictates their daily time lives. The other 95% is controlled by the subconscious. The average person, which is me or you or below, operates off of 1% consciousness. The rest of it is subconscious. Totally subconscious. things that you do, that you've learned, your behavior, that you do not even have to think about in the first conscience realm. Now you said spooky. No, you ought to thank God for it. If you didn't, when you went to sleep, you'd die. What do you figure controls your breathing? Subconscious. What do you figure controls your heart rate? Subconscious. What do you figure controls all these things when you're out of your first conscience? Subconscious. So the subconscious is where faith really lays. He's the man down in the engine room in the ship. But your first conscience is the man up on the deck. He's the one that gives all the orders, does all the talking, wears the pretty uniform. But it's the guy down in the engine room that's got grease all over his hands. He's the one that really steers the ship. Now, from that, much of what we learn, actually may be quite surprising to you, but much of what is contained in the subconscious is learned by the time you're the age of 6 years old. 6 years old. So in there, much of the way we deal, our behavior, the way we relate, the way we act, all these sort of things comes not from the first conscious realm, but from the subconscious. Much of what we think about, much of our dialogue, self-talk, whatever you want to call it, comes from that subconscious. So we learn, we associated, we got hurt when we was a child by a certain individual that had gray hair and certain color of eyes. And the next time we see a person, plumb on up to where ages and years, and a certain thing in our subconscious will trigger that something. So you imagine now this man has to have something from deep within him that he's no longer acknowledging this identification facts in his body. So he don't even think about it. How can you not think about being 100 years old? How can you not think about being sick? How can you not think about being depressed? Now here I am asking you all these questions and y'all don't have the answers. I've got them though, if you'd like to know. Now watch, so Abraham did not go around and, well, you know, everything's fine. I've got my mind over the matter. That's the way it's going to be. No, he never even acknowledged that. He didn't even think about that. That didn't even come in his mind. How can that be so? It never even came in his mind. And he didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Why? Here's the simple answer. He had focused all unbelief out. Now this unbelief was not just in his spirit, but it was also in his subconscious. Now let me explain to you this way. These people who study all this sort of thing say that your brain is sort of like an iceberg. A very small percentage of the iceberg is stuck up out of the water. The majority of the iceberg is beneath the water. So your first conscience is what's on the outside. But the majority of you is on the inside. That part which we don't even really know very little about. But yet, when you think of how that this man was able, now it would be in his natural makeup as all human beings, it would be in the natural makeup when God makes a promise, it would be in that natural side to look, well, God said this, how can it be? You know how we are as humans. We say, how will the rapture be? What will heaven be like? What will we do all that time? What will he do? You think you're the first one to have all kinds of questions? All human beings have that. Some are more strange than others, but all of us have questions about things. How could he keep this out of his mind? I am not going to let my age, my facts, my deadness of my body hinder this promise. I refuse to think about it. God helped Abraham rewire his brain. If God helped Abraham, God can help me. If God helped Abraham, God can help you all. If you want it rewired. Now, watch this. Brother Ram said he didn't even think about that. Didn't even come in his mind. Why? He, not God. He had focused all the unbelief out. And he said, oh, glory. Now watch him in perfect faith speaking about Peter. Jesus said, come on. He stepped out. He said, Lord, I'll just walk. When he got his eyes on the waves, he got scared. What? Come in his mind. Now watch Peter. He's in the midst of a miracle. He is in the midst of a miracle. Something happened inside this man at the commission of the Lord Jesus. Come, Peter. And Peter received a supernatural endowment of a substance faith. A faith like he had never experienced before. A faith beyond feeling. A faith beyond emotion. A faith beyond intellect. It was actually a substance from within his soul. So the man in the engine room and the man up on the deck were both saying the same thing, and they were saying the same thing the man on the water was saying. So when it did, it released to this man a substance in his soul. So he steps over the side of the ship, right out on top of the waves, and he goes to walking up and down them waves. Now, as long as he had a substance, he's able to walk right on top of that water just like Jesus did. Until the subconscious core loose, notice now, and his first conscious becomes so prevalent, and he goes to looking around, coming to himself and saying, what have I done? Where am I at? Boy, you've got yourself into it now. You're in a fine mess. Now he goes to reason. Now he goes to thinking. Now he goes to trying to deduce, what in the world am I doing? And when he does, the substance from the subconscious pulls away from the first conscience. Watch out, Brother Bam explains this. He said, I'm going to walk because the word said for me to walk. And the next thing he looked, well, he looked at his symptoms. Now, are those waves real? Peter, don't worry about it. Put your mind over this matter. Them waves ain't real. That water ain't real, Peter. Just imagine that it's not that. Just imagine in your mind. Notice, Lord Jesus, he looked at his symptoms. He looked out there and seen how big them waves was. And he got scared. You mean he never got scared when he first stepped out? So it's sort of like your sister's frying meat and the grease pops out on your hand and it won't burn you unless you're afraid of it. Is this a message? So all of a sudden, Peter begins to, in the middle of this miracle, sense fear. Faith and fear can't correlate together. It can't work together. They can't go hand in hand. When he steps out, no fear, no frustration, no doubt. Oh, glory. I'm going to do this. Jesus said I could. And then all of a sudden, his conscience, his mind, thinking, intellect. Oh, Lord, what have I done? Watch this. He looked out there and seen how big them waves was, and he got scared. And when he did, down he went. What he feared happened. What he believed happened. You mean so there's no change in Jesus? There's no change in the water. There's no change in the wind. Where was the change? In Peter. Dear sin friend, a lot of we look like, say, oh God, why ain't you doing this? There's no change in Jesus. Oh God, the wind. No change in the wind. Oh God, the waves. No change in the waves. The change is in us. We get afraid. We doubt. We question. We fuster. We fill our minds with all the nonsense of the world. And then we wonder why our faith is not as powerful as it was 5 years ago. Oh my. Now notice how he explains this. What he feared happened. What he believed happened. When he believed he could walk, he walked. So you mean the miracle was not just substantiated on the power of the spoken word. There was a reciprocating part inside of Peter that must correlate with what was said, or the miracle will stop right in the middle of it. So Peter believes and Peter walks. Peter doubts and Peter sinks. Any of y'all ever walk and sunk in the same miracle? Boy, I have. Man, you talking about embarrassing. I imagine all his life he wanted to redo this story, don't you? What he feared happened. What he believed happened. When he believed he could walk, he walked. When he believed God, listen, got scared in his belief, then his substance left him. So here he is right in the middle of a miracle. Right in the middle of believing God like he's never believed him before. And all of a sudden, the first conscience and the subconscious. Now remember, the subconscious did not have the same abilities that the first conscience does. It does not have the ability to logic. It's illogical, the subconscious. The subconscious can only go by what's fed from the first conscience. So from our beginning of our childhood, we start feeding into that. Many of you sitting here tonight, you're still living behaviors and behaving things and doing things that you learned as a child. Certain ideas of people and certain opinions of things that you learned when you was a child. Well, I said, glory to God, I'm a Christian. I'll tell you, friend, I believe this is one of the worst mistakes we make as message people is that we think we're different from everybody else out here as far as this. We think we're not falling in adultery. We're not this. We're not. We're the same as they are. The only difference in us is a predestinated seed in our soul. As far as the human part, disease part, we're just as susceptible to every disease out there there is as the world is. But we think we're so different. We're not a bit different than they are. Wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be no different in our soul either. Now, Watson. So what he fears happens. What he believes happens. So he got scared in his belief and his substance left him. Notice now, not his faith. He had just as much faith going down as when he walked. He didn't lose faith. He lost substance. Now watch this. He's got scared in his belief and his substance left him. Notice Brother Bam said, he still professed his faith. But he didn't have the substance. You believe it. I believe. You believe Jesus can walk on water. Yes. Do you believe you can? Yes. Now? No. Did you believe a few minutes ago? I believe a few minutes ago, but whatever, I can't do it now. His substance left. Did he still believe it was possible? He did. Did he believe Jesus could do it? He did. But when his substance left, the miracle ceased to happen. You see, the two men got out of alignment. The man down here, the subconscious man that was able to be penetrated by the spoken word of God and believe. Brother Bram said people walk up on the platform and say, Brother Bram, I got all the faith in the world. He said, that's this man up here. They really believe intellectually that they believe. But the man down inside the engine room will say, it won't happen. It won't happen. It won't happen. And remember, he cannot logic. He does not reason. He does not even know the ability between right and wrong. He does not separate your thoughts, both good or bad. That's why learned habits and behavior. A person can be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Say they smoked and drunk and all kinds of things. Habitually, by the subconscious, they could go out after church, reach over in their pocket there, and reach for a cigarette. Why? Because the subconscious, that's what they did. They could actually start to do something that was wrong because it was a learned behavior and it must be taught new behavior. Oh, God, help us. Now watch, he says, he still professed his faith, but he didn't have the substance. The substance would have went right over the top of the white cap. Went right on to him, see, he has perfect faith. But he didn't have it. So the man up on top of the boat said, all right, do here, do there, do there, do there. And the man down there in the engine room, he said, I can't do it. So Peter just keeps on walking. Go ahead, I'll do it without you. One, two, three. You believe, Peter? I still believe with all of my heart. But his substance left. And when his substance left, his ability to walk on water left. You understand, friends? Whenever we lose our substance, our ability to overcome leaves with the substance. We still got all the quotes. We still got all the memorization of the scriptures. But when the substance leaves, your power to overcome leaves with it. Amen. Oh, no. Notice this. He didn't have it. He thought he did. He did it first. He was willing to venture right out. Why? The Lord told me to do it. It's got to happen. So he steps right down out of the boat and takes off. He never thought. Now watch this. He never thought. How is this possible? You cannot move without thoughts. You cannot step out of a boat without a thought. It's totally impossible. Unless, of course, it's a subconscious move. You remember whenever y'all first learned how to drive? This is the way they explain the first conscious and the subconscious. When you first learned how to drive, your mama, your daddy, whatever, whoever it was that was trying to teach you how to drive, you had both hands on the steering wheel. You don't want nobody talking to you. You don't want them saying nothing to you. Come on, just sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't turn the radio on. You wouldn't turn it up. You wouldn't turn it down. You wouldn't hardly do nothing. You're sitting there glued. But as you began to learn, then your storage was then recorded in your subconscious. As you became more familiar. Now, you thought you was just getting used to it. It was not. Your big recorder was going on. You see, they also explain it like this, that your subconscious is like the hard drive or the hardware on a computer, but your first conscience is the software which feeds it and operates it. So here you were. You were holding on. It's okay, honey. You're just going 2 miles an hour. It's all right. It's okay. There you go. Just put your foot on. Oh, God, it's interstate. No, it's a Walmart parking lot. You're okay. You're doing all right. They're more dangerous than interstate, ain't they? But then as you went on and you went on, you did not realize what was going on, but you were committing to memory in the subconscious. Oh, Lord. Now you get out there and you brothers drive with one hand and your sisters and you'll fool with the radio, fool with the iPhone and your droid. My Lord, you're doing 14 different things at one time. How can you do that? Because the subconscious does it for you. You are not even aware. It's telling your hands. It's telling your eyes. It's telling your feet. Do this, push the brake, turn the turn signal, do this, do that. And you're totally unconscious of it. So Peter steps out of the boat, not even thinking about it. Wow. I wonder if that'd be sort of something like the rapture. That all of a sudden a command from another realm, another world would tell me, be changed. Now I'm not even thinking about it. I'm standing in front of the sink, brushing my teeth, you know, combing my hair, fixing to go wherever and do whatever. And all of a sudden, a command from across the river says, walk on the water. And I'm not even thinking about how to be changed. I'm not even thinking about how is it going to come to pass. But a thought, glory to God, a thought from another world, and my body begins to obey that word. Notice. So he steps out. He never even thought about the waves, how contrary it was. He never got that in his mind, which is totally backwards. This is what the first conscience does. The first conscience sees and spots and sees danger, fight or flight, they call it. It's a survival mode that's in the deepest of all animals, fight or flight. How come he did not become terrified? How come that was not adrenaline and endorphins and whatever more released from the chemistry of his brain? He never even thought about the waves, the danger. Can't you see? It was a subconscious walk. Now you're going to think I'm a mystic. Notice this, he says, when you get to thinking, well now wait, you know, I've been sick for so long. Look at this powerful word. Stop. You might as well go back to the boat. But when you quit thinking about that. Now, if you're sitting here tonight, you got symptoms in your body, you got all kinds of physical ailments or all kinds of problems in your home or whatever it is, how are you going to quit thinking about it? Do you honestly believe Brother Branham told you something that cannot be done? Are you going to accuse this prophet of God of being a liar? Are we going to look at this quote and say, this man was absolutely out of his mind? There's no way it can be done. He wouldn't have said it if it couldn't have been done. He never said it'd be easy, but it can be done. Now notice, when you get to thinking, well now wait, I've been sick for so long. Where's that coming from? Amen. It's that man down in the engine room. The conscience has said it over and over again. Spoke it out loud. All this man down here does, all he knows, is to obey what's told him from the iceberg that's exposed. So the iceberg that's exposed tells the one that's submerged, I'm sick, I'll never get better, I'll never get over it, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. Nobody don't like me, nobody cares for me, this and that, the other. And the subconscious, it's not logical. It does not know how to suffer, don't even know the difference between right and wrong or truth or false. It accepts what you put into it. And that's why it can be so real to you. That's why folks can be as dead wrong as they can be, and they can't see it to save their life. Because they're constantly saying, everybody's out to get me. Nobody likes me. Oh, everybody hates me. And you know what? They believe it as much as God's truth. It'll be a miracle if they get changed from it too, because in their subconscious, that's what they believe. And the subconscious works to bring to pass what you feed into it. My goodness. When you quit thinking about that, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't think about that. Didn't even consider it. It wasn't even brought into understanding. He didn't even consider it at all. Just considered what God said. People say, I don't understand how you could think that you can have faith, but a real person that has faith says, I can't understand how you could think I couldn't think that I could think that I could think that. I don't understand why you'd have a hard time believing. I don't understand how atheists think that there ain't no God, don't you? I can't relate to that. I've come to that spot, thank God. But you know what I want to move to? I want to move into this realm, to where I'm able to look and say, I don't understand why I didn't always see it this way. I don't understand why I wasted so many years of my life feeding it with all kinds of old negative down type of stuff and let the devil rob me of years of joy being a child of God. Notice again, it works as faith express. He considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Wasn't even brought under consideration. Brother Brown said, oh my, that just shakes me. Body dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not even brought in consideration. No circumstances will be considered when faith finds its bedding ground. You know where faith's bedding ground is, don't you? It must be anchored in the Word in your believing heart. Now watch this in verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Isn't this amazing? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Watch. Brother Ben said God had been testing the patriarch because he'd given him a promise. Listen, children. And when God makes a promise, He wants to be sure that this person is worthy of the promise before He fulfills what He said or what He promises. He tried many of the children of Israel before they come to the land of Canaan, as our brother spoke to us the other night in the wilderness, and they proved they were not worthy of the land. Oh my, if God's gonna try me, I wanna be worthy of the promise. There's going to be a rapture, Brother Jim. There's going to be people to overcome. I want to be worthy of that overcomer promise. My Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Notice the bottom part of this quote. God, time after time, tested him, but he'd come to that final test. Talking about offering Isaac now. But for the blessing was going to happen, and that's the way it is with all the seed of Abraham. God gives us that final test just before he gives the promise. Wonder if that's where we are right now, friends. Some of you battling, oh, I ain't felt God. I don't feel God, but I go to church. I wonder if we've got this thing all backwards. I wonder if we could identify what is feeling God. If we had a scripture in the Bible where we said, well, I want to base my feeling God on the Bible. Okay, where would you go? Peter ever say he felt God? Did Paul ever say he felt God? Did Jesus, when he was here, which was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, did Jesus ever say I was tempted because I didn't feel God? Oh, y'all quiet on me now. Oh, my. Notice this. He said he waited 25 years before it ever happened, but he never failed one time. Lord, help us. He staggered not at the promise to unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. He had a touch of that sixth sense. He called anything contrary to what God said as though it wasn't. Lord, what God said was true, and after 25 years, the baby was born. So here this man somehow, being a mortal, just like all of the mortals, taught from a child that there was more than one God. That there was all kinds of gods. Gods for populating the earth. God for the maturity of plants. God for all kinds of things. How did he get that out of his subconscious? How did he get it out? How did he get it out? He had to be retrained. This is a very simple quote, but it's very powerful. Brother Ben said, Abraham, no matter how long it took, staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. No matter how much the devil tells you, no, 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 you say, yes, yes, yes. That's a good one to put on your fridge. No matter how many times the devil says, no, 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 you say, yes, yes, yes. And if the devil says, no, 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 don't you say, yes, yes, because that still means he's one up on you. If he says, no, 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 you say, yes, yes, yes. And it's not necessary for you to do 400 to his three. Just meet his three. That'll put him on the run. All you got to do, you stand right there and you meet his blood by the word of God. And you say, you're a liar, Satan. This promise will come to pass in my life because God said so. You don't feel it. I don't have to feel it. You don't understand it. I don't even have to understand it. I believe the one who made the promise. Oh, thank God. Now look, you know, in the message you find these simple, simple keys to these things. Abraham did such a thing, and 25 years later we find him still believing the same promise. Why? He had focused mind. You mean we got to worry about our mind? Your parents ought to start worrying about your kids' minds. We'll get into it a little bit later, but psychologists, medical doctors, all these different types of people who've done all kinds of tests since the early 1900s, since television was invented. They're doing more and more and more and showing the children that are exposed, not just to television, but to videos, video games, SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever his name is. 9 minutes after watching it, children were given psychiatric tests. Psychiatrists who did not know the setting looked at those tests and determined each one of those children were in an insane institution because of their psychiatric evaluation. Well, I figured that'd make y'all quiet. You wait till I bring the meat of it. You will get quiet. We need to watch, children. We need to watch what we feed on. We need to watch what we're doing to our children. Why, somebody was to break in your home and try to rob or mutilate or rape one of your children, you men would fight for the last drop. Some of you are doing worse in your home than any robber could ever do by the way you're bringing them up. Well, praise the Lord. My, he had focused his mind to do the will of God and by the word of God. If we can focus ourselves, you mean there's something I've got to do? Y'all still want that abracadabra stuff, ain't you? Abracadabra, abracadoo. I'll make a full-born, matured son of God out of you. Whammo! Man, it didn't work. It ain't intended to work like that. It's intended to beat the time out of us. Beat all this old nonsense out of us. It brings more glory to God. If we can focus ourselves to the plan of God, to what God wants for us and what God promised us, and let everything else alone, no matter how long it is, just keep believing. Amen. Romans 4, here we find Romans 4:14. It said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. He looked to one thing, and that was the voice that spoke to him. Look at this in Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded, make full proof of, to bear or bring full, to carry through to the end, to accomplish, to fill one with any thought, conviction, or inclination. Hence, to make one certain, to persuade, to convince one, or to be persuaded. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able. Do you believe he's able? What God had promised Abraham was without one shadow of a doubt, totally convinced that God was able. You see, also in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able. This thing kept him his entire walk with God. After the child came now on the scene, now he believed that if God wanted him to kill him as a sacrifice, that God was able to raise him up from the dead. He is able will be with you your entire walk as God, believe me. To be able to believe he is able. Let me take a little bit more, can I? Now then, what about our confession as Christians? Our testimony and our confession are very similar, but they are separate in other ways too. Now watch this in disease and affliction. Brother Ben said he's the high priest of your confession. God can't do nothing to you till you first confess that he is. Then when you confess it, then believe it. So I confess it, then I believe it, then I act upon it. So in Abraham's life, it was that he believed what God said. He confessed what God said. Him and Sarah went down to the doctor's office and made arrangements. Right? And he got the bird eye. Is that right? Now he's acting on it. What's he doing? He's preparing. Remember Brother Bam said he went down there and the doctor ran him out of town. Said, this man's nuts. He's absolutely crazy. Well, what's he doing? He's acting on the prophet. Remember the prophet talking about the little girl or the little boy that was crippled? Oh my. And they brought the child to the meeting and they had faith that Brother Branham would pray for it. The child would walk. And the man, the father went downtown, bought the baby a pair of shoes. Oh, glory. The baby hadn't walked yet. The baby was still crippled. But the father was putting his faith into action. Glory to God. Oh, you got lost children? Buy them a Bible and have their name printed on the front of it. Why, you're expecting them. Glory to God. Put message CDs back for them. Get ready for them to come in. Act like they're already serving God. Oh, you say it's nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. It's acting out your confession.
Maybe I'll start making room for him on the pews. If you mind scooting over, my son's fixing to be saved.
Hey, glory! My daughter's fixing to get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Somebody come here and say, can I sit down here? Only my boy gets saved. You say you're nuts. I know it, and I'm happy to be this way. Because one of these days it's going to change me. It's going to change my mortal body. You know, it's absolutely amazing, friends. Brother Bram's saying these statements I'm fixing to read you in 50, 51, 52, 53, 54. Doctors just in the last 4, 5 years, 10 years are finding out some of these statements that this prophet of God said. I'll read you, Lord willing, in the morning of a statement of a doctor that used the exact example of a ship in describing the conscience and the subconscious. And this man wasn't around when Brother Branham was here. Glory. Oh my. Notice this. Then when you confess it, then believe it and act upon it. Stay with it and God will bring you out. Notice he's a high priest of your confession. You get what I mean? What you confess you are, that's what you are. So what you confess you are, that's what you are. How? Don't you see why you need to take the promises of God and say them out loud over and over again? You understand what you're doing? You're rewiring your brain. You're retraining your subconscious, that man down in the engine room, which has been taught all of these years, I'm no good, I'm no count. Oh, if it happens to anybody, it'll always happen to me. Oh, my luck, I'm stupid, I'm this and that. And let me tell you something. You folks say, I don't say that much out loud negative. Don't have to. It's them thoughts that go through your mind all day long. How worthless you are. How no good you are. Some of you don't say it out loud and you think you're a positive talker because you don't say it. These two guys are communicating all the time. Well, glory. Whew. I figure that I'm probably going to be blasted for this series about as much as anything I've ever preached. But you know what? I don't even care. Because it's the truth. What you confess you are, that's what you are. Any man will never live any farther or any higher than what he believes he's living. So it's not just the will of God of what God wants me and how high God wants me to be. It's what I think about it. It's what I confess about it. Lord have mercy. You take a man that's talking about drinking all the time. He talks about drinking. He thinks about drinking. He drops right down into that category and becomes a drunkard. A man that's always thinking about vulgar things, looks at vulgar things, thinks of vulgar things. He reads vulgarity. Now what's it doing? It's going to lead that man into that very realm, because that's what he's thinking about and talking about. That's his confession. Notice this again. You'll never live any higher. Look at this year, July the 16th, 1950. You'll never live any higher than you confess that you are. It's your confession that saves you. He that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father and the holy angels. When you say you're sick, you're sick. I'm not preaching Christian Science now. I'm preaching the power of God. You're kidding me. Preaching the power of God in what I say? Preaching the power of God in what you say? I'm preaching the power of God, and the Holy Spirit bears record of it. See, here's what it is. You accept Him because you feel that He saved you. And you go to telling people, testifying of it, and believing your testimony. Uh-oh. Do you honestly think a testimony is just for everybody else? It's mainly for you. You ain't supposed to just testify so everybody else can hear what God's done for you. It's so you can retrain yourself. After all, we are our biggest enemy. It doesn't really matter what your subconscious thinks about me. It doesn't really matter what your subconscious projects to me. That ain't going to hinder me at all. It's what mine says. It's what mine thinks. It's my confession. My confession ain't going to hurt you, Brother West, unless you just let it. I don't think Brother West is no good. Brother West can say, Brother Donnie, I love you, but you're wrong. I know my own confession. I know Christ has accepted me. Now look, that is where God wants us to be. And our testimony, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I want to stand in church and testify. Your greatest testimony is not standing up here. It's you at home. It's when you're down. It's when you're in the valley. It's when everything is going on. You feel so depressed. And citizen, I'm so depressed. I'm so rotten. I'm so sick. Start saying, by His stripes, I'm healed. I'm not going to stay depressed. I take this medicine in the name of Jesus, but one day I will have to have this stuff no more. There's the power of your testimony. You go to telling people and testifying of it and believing your testimony. That amazing one telling about, glory to God, Jesus saved me. Hallelujah, Jesus saved me, Jesus saved me. Oh, He delivered me, help me. And maybe none of them will get help, but you're helping yourself. Because your subconscious, which has heard cussing and filth and junk all your life, all of a sudden it goes to hearing different words like predestination and election and call. You think your subconscious just picks all that up by itself? So you're testifying, glory to God, Jesus saved me. And the subconscious said, really, are we saved now? Oh my. Wow, I didn't know we all got saved. Well, you ain't yet, but you're going to be. You're on the way. Subconscious, you're on the way. And I'm retraining you. I'm telling you different stuff. I don't say them words no more. I don't cuss no more. I don't think them thoughts no more. I'm going a different way. I've got to retrain you about election. The subconscious said, what's election? Predestination, bride, rapture, Malachi 4. Really? Malachi 4? I never heard such stuff. A But your subconscious starts relearning. Then it holds dear what you project into it. You see, the outside man will fluctuate. First conscious, we come in the presence of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, he's here. I feel him. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. People come up to get prayed for, and the first conscious will fluctuate. They didn't believe before, but now they feel it. Whew, I feel it. Oh, it's all over me. It's all over me. They come up to be prayed for, but this man down here don't move but feelings. Oh, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. 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 And they're worked up by emotion on the outward conscience. But they come through and this in my inside man going on a constant diet. If it's not for me, it won't work for me. I've already tried it. It can't work for me. So when they come through, this man prevails and says, it won't work for me. If it goes past tomorrow, I know I've lost my healing. It won't work. So they walk through the prayer line, go back and sit down. Because this inside man, he don't just go with the music. It's what you constantly feed him. Listen to this. You go to telling people, testifying to them, believe in your testimony. And it works righteousness. It'll do the same thing for healing. And when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, Lord have mercy. God will make your body come into your confession. That's why I say I'm going in the rapture. Y'all going with me? God's going to make my body come into that confession. God will make your body come into your confession. If you say you're a drunkard and want to drink, don't worry. You'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, God, your testimony will bring you right into it. Amen. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it. And God will make your body obey your confession. For he's the high priest of your confession. So, Brother Donnie, does that mean anything I confess? Now listen, he's the high priest of our confession. He's there to bring to pass for us every promise he's made concerning for us. He doesn't promise every one of us are going to be rich. So you can confess it all day long, and all of us ain't going to be millionaires. I know some of y'all are waiting on the engine, and you're waiting on this, and you're waiting on that investment, and that investment. I think the only ones that's going to get rich on the engine are the engine people. If I was you, I'd put my faith in something else. I wouldn't put it in the economy. I wouldn't put it in, you know, all these other things. I'd put it in Jesus because he don't lie. So you're waiting for this. Oh, my ship's coming in. My ship's coming in. You better get them two guys lined up or your ship may be going out. My. Well, there's no promise in the word that says all God's people is going to be rich. There's no promise in the word saying, all God's people are going to have new Cadillacs and BMWs and all this sort of thing. He cannot act on that in heaven. There's no promise to back it up. But he will act upon everything there is a promise for to back it up. So if you're sick tonight, by stripes I am healed. There's a promise so he can back it up in heaven. If you're bound with depression, if you're bound with trouble, there's promise in the word of God. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as thy soul prospers, he's there to back up that confession. Oh, Jesus. Let me close. Now the only thing a minister could do would be preach the gospel and tell you the truth. And you believe it, accept it, act upon your confession, go out and say you're well. Believe you're well. Act. Now isn't that what people do in Hollywood? Now think of it. Say some actor is gonna make a movie of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, Abraham Lincoln is not here to do the part himself. So they will try to find somebody that looks like Abraham Lincoln. Somebody that they can grow a beard on and change his hair and make him look very similar to him. And then this man must read about Abraham Lincoln. He must try to, in his mind, with his own natural ability. Now, he cannot totally transform everything he is. There'll be certain mannerisms that he'll have to act, but he must incorporate that thought. I am not Donnie Reagan. I am Abraham Lincoln. On this set, I must act like Abraham Lincoln. I must think like Abraham. So he is an actor.
Yes. Amen.
Is he Abraham Lincoln? No. But he's going to act like he is. So if we have to act, most of us are actors. Husbands and wives can be into arguments and they pull upon the parking lot out here and act like they weren't. He drops her off at the door. Bye, darling. See you in church. See you in church. Glory. Glory. Don't sit there and act like you don't know what acting's all about. Some of y'all acting right now. You act like you don't know what I'm talking about. So what do? You don't go out and put on a falsehood. Is your limp still there? Bend that knee. I can't yet. I can't yet. But I'm already getting my mind psyched up for it. I'm gonna learn how to run. I'm acting like I'm healed. Glory to God. Oh my. Do you understand, friends, that we take the word. We believe that word so much and we start making preparation for it. Believe you're well. Act like you're well. You say, Brother Branham, should I do that? Before it, you never feel, does it? Jesus didn't say, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? It's by faith, not by feeling. You're not saved by feeling. So you're not lost by it either. Why, the devil can beat you around every stump in the country. Boy, that's a lot of them in these woods. If you're living in a desert, that ain't much. But when you're living in the mountains, there's a bunch of stumps around here. The devil can beat you around every stump in the country, saying it's by your feelings. Some of you Christians need to get sick and tired and drag out your muzzleloader or whatever you got and shoot that devil right square between the eyes. Next time he pulls you up to that stump, say, oh boy, you crossed the line this time. I'm blowing you away. You beat me around the stump service after service. When I go pray, I don't feel it. When I read my Bible, I don't feel it. I've been going from one place to another. I found out by the word of God, you're a liar. You've been beating me around from stump to stump, but I'm sick of it. I'm not saved because I feel like I'm saved. And I say glory to God for that. I'm saved because God's word says I'm saved. Just rest yourself for a minute. Let me read you a couple more. Listen to this, friends. He can't do nothing for you till you can first confess it. You mean nothing. So if the word says it and the message teaches it, the preacher preaches it, and you actually believe it with genuine faith, and that's as far as you go. You never confess it. You just, by, you know, the word says it and the preacher said it, and Brother Van said it and the Bible said it, but you don't confess it and make it yours. He cannot do it. This is the way he set it up. He can't do nothing for you until you first confess. He's the high priest of your confession. In that case, not even to your faith. Even couldn't be faith until you confess it. You've got to accept faith, believe it, and confess it's already done. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Jesus sits at the right hand of God to make intercession upon your confession. You've got to accept it, believe it, and confess it so to make it an act of faith. Amen. So when you confess it, you believe it, and you make that your confession, then that is an act of faith. Now, any of those things, if you're weary, upset, fretting, nervous, sick, sin, whatever it is, when you accept that from your heart, go to confessing it and then saying it there. God's right there to make it right. When you go to confessing it, but if you're afraid to say so. Now, notice you can say, I believe it. I believe it and hold it in your heart. Oh, I believe it's the truth. I believe it's the truth. But can it go past here and come out here? You see, when you say it, it's an act of faith. Then you're being, did I hear you say, Brother Jim, you's healed? So as long as you hold it in your heart. If it don't work, nobody will know it. And you won't be embarrassed. Glory. Oh, I love this, don't you? But if you're afraid to say so and afraid to act upon your confession, no matter how many times you're prayed for, you'll never, listen to this word, never. So you can have a man of God praying for you. They can anoint you with oil. They can cast out every devil. They can go through all that sort of thing. But if you don't confess it and you're afraid because the man in the engine room has heard all this negative stuff that you say. So when you get up there, he said, it ain't for you. You've tried this before. It ain't going to work for you. And you go up there, you may shout, you may feel it all over you. But that man down there won't sink with this one up here. The outer conscience, the intellect, glory, hallelujah. Oh, I feel it, all the glory to God, amen. I know I got it. How many people come across the platform when Brother Branham is here? Be right in the middle of a vision, they go to shout and speak in tongues. We believe in all that too. And miss their very blessing. And you watch him in discernment. God bless you. Not of thus saith the Lord, you're healed. God bless you. May God help you. May God be with you. The man in the engine room wasn't synced up with the man on the outside. Lord have mercy. If you're afraid to say so and afraid to act upon your confession, no matter how many times you're prayed for, you'll never get well. You got to believe it first. He's the high priest of what you confess that he has done for you. He cannot heal you or cannot save you or do one thing for you until first you accept it and believe it and confess it. You got to confess it, not you got to feel it. You got to confess it. He's not the high priest of your feelings. He's the high priest of your confession. You say, well, I accept it now. Then in the morning you get up and say, well, I still got the headache. I feel as bad as I did. Then you dropped right down. You'll never live above your confession. Listen to this. Let the saintliest. Now you're talking about a word. The saintliest. Now we're not talking about an old drunk or somebody, well, comes to church every now and again. But the saintliest person in this building right now. Make up in your mind that you're not a Christian anymore. And that's when you become from the mind. You mean if I make up in my mind, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a believer. Even though a work has been done in my heart. Friends, do we believe this? This is the message. You make up in your mind you're not a Christian anymore. That's when you become not a Christian, see? You go out and say, are you a Christian? No. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. You're fallen from grace. Ain't smoked. Ain't committed adultery. Where'd you fall from? In your mind. Healing works the same way. Deliverance the same way. See, it's faith. It's either faith or unbelief. You're blessed, possessed rather, with those two powers. Either faith or unbelief. Let's bow our heads together. Oh my. The power of confession. The power of confession. No wonder Jesus said, if you say, to this mountain. And you can have what you say. I wonder each one of us here tonight as we think about our walk with God. Many of you have been Christians and serving the Lord for years and years. I wonder how many of those years have been so far beneath what God actually wanted you to have and what He wanted you to be. I don't just think of natural things, of possessions, natural ones. But spiritual things. What about your level of joy? Say he wanted you to have 100 bushels full, we'll say it this way, of joy, and all you ever had was 20. He wanted you to have peace and revelation and those things that we don't think that much about. And yet you live so far beneath those things. What a sad testimony we are to the saving power of God. If you're the only epitome of a Christian and they was going to take a picture, your picture, and put it on a billboard all across the United States, and they would catch you with the look on your face, which you wear most of the time, the depressed, sad, long look, if that's what your most of the time expression is, or anger, or whatever it would be. And they would put that in every state of the union, in every county in the United States. And they would say, this is what it's like to be a message believer. Is there anybody out there that wants to be like this? Would we draw people to Christ in the message? Or would we turn people away? And remember, you're the only Jesus that some folks will ever know. You're the only reflection of this message that someone will know. What do they read when they see you? Do they see a liar? Do they see somebody who cheats and pouts when they don't get their way? And whatever more, what do they see when they read the billboard of our lives? I want them to see Jesus, don't you? I don't just want them to. They're going to. By His help and grace in my life, I want to be a billboard that He could put my picture in every state, in every country around the world. And with the true reflection from my heart, it would be able to reflect the epitome of a real Christian. How many of you feel the same way tonight? Not the doctrines that you believe, not all the theology. Jesus didn't say, let your doctrine so shine, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not your good theology, but your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. He said, you are a city which is set on a hill. No man lights a candle, puts it under a bushel. Oh my, let us walk worthy of the vocation to which we are called, Paul said. Lord Jesus, as I come with this congregation tonight, Father, those present and those that many were sick tonight and some out traveling, I know they're streaming their phones or the computers or whatever more. Right there where they are as well, Lord. I pray you'd help each of us. Lord, forgive me for the years of my life if I haven't been the right type of testimony. Not that I've run around and committed adultery or lied or stole or anything like that. I've never willingly preached any error, though I know I've preached error ignorantly. I've never studied a sermon to try to deceive anybody or to try to lead anybody astray. But Lord, no doubt, I behaved in ways that wasn't a reflection of what it could have been. No doubt I've had many sad days that the little birds would have looked at me and wondered, what's he so sad about? No doubt I've let Satan rob me. Lord Jesus, I pray you forgive me, Lord. We live in such a challenge in this day. We have so much sickness, so much trouble, so much despair and anxiety all around us. And yet, there's a way that we can live shut in with God in a secret place, in a world that's so troubled, and have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, help us, I pray, Father. May the glory of the gospel reflect itself in each of our lives, Lord Jesus. Men, women, boys, girls, help us, Father, in our mind, in our thinking, that we can be changed. No wonder Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. And the loins is the reproductive part. So the mind is the reproductive part. So we're to gird up our loins of our minds. Protect them. Watch what our minds reproduce. Watch what our minds propagate. Think on these things. Help us, Lord.
I'm convinced after studying all of this stuff, Lord, many of us are not really fighting as many devils every day as we think we are. What we're actually dealing with is our own negativity. We've got so much negative stuff, and the voice that we're hearing, all this negative stuff, it's not really the devil. It's not really even demons. It's our own inner self. They go down into hell and just take a day off or a week off because we're so filled with negativity. They don't have to tell us any more stuff. We tell ourselves. We defeat ourselves by what we say, by what we really believe. Help us, Lord Jesus. Please, Father. Help us, I pray. No wonder Brother Branham would tell people over and over again, go off this platform rejoicing, singing happy songs. Don't think about your sickness again. Don't let it come into your mind. In that brief moment, they were getting trained. They were getting their subconscious rewired, as it were, giving them something to take off that platform so they could change their lives. Help us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. How many say with me tonight, Lord Jesus, I want this to change me. I want to be a different person, Lord. Praise God. Lord, I ain't going to claim a millionaire. I don't want that. We don't want houses and lambs and farms and ranches and all that sort of thing. Lord, we want what's rightfully ours. Peace, joy, long-suffering, forgiveness. Lord God, to me, the treasures of a Christian. It's not $100 bills. It's not big old bank accounts. May the message folks have that. They have already no virtue, no love, no forgiveness, no understanding. God, I want what your prophet talked about, that he could bitterly disagree with a man, bitterly disagree with a man, and put his arm around him and feel the same way in his heart. How come we don't want that in the message? Most of us, if we ever bitterly disagree with anybody, we'll never feel the same. Shame on us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Those are the treasures I want, God. Lord, I want to pray for those who talk about me. I want to forgive those who run me down. I want to forgive those who spread lies and rumors on me, Lord. And if I meet them, have no hard feeling in my heart. Hallelujah. Anybody else here with me want those riches? Can you believe, friends, the coffers of God are full of such things? Do we not want these? Do we not want to be like Jesus where we can forgive and love? And hallelujah. Is all we want is new houses and lands and bigger cars and more boats and more this. And is that all we want? Is that all we want of the bounty of God? Don't we want those supernatural things, those eternal things that'll never pass away? Forgiveness and revelation and joy and mercy. Hallelujah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill my cup with these things, Lord Jesus. Fill my cup with these things tonight, Lord God. I lift it up, Lord. That's what I want. I want more of your things, and I confess it tonight, Lord God. I confess it. You are my source of forgiveness. You are my source of more love. You are my source of understanding. You are my source when brothers will run me down, Lord. You are my source where I can take them to the throne of God. And as the prophet said, I'll bring them before the throne of God. And when I come back down, I'll be feeling sorry for that brother. You are my source of that, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be like you, Lord. You never had no houses. You never had no lands. You never had no business as far as the world was concerned. But oh, what you had was without money and without price. Lord Jesus, help us to turn our carnal desires away from the things of the world and so many natural things that we want to the spiritual things that really have value. Oh, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody want your cup filled up with that tonight? Why don't we raise our hands in a symbolic way to the Lord? Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up with forgiveness.
Fill it up with mercy, Lord. Fill it up, Lord Jesus, with strength and stability. Fill it up, Lord, with a godly Christ-like character. Fill it up, Lord, when I don't get my way, whether at home or in church or on the job. Fill it up, Lord, that I don't pout like a little child. Fill it up, Lord, with forgiveness. Fill it up, Lord, with you and your mercy. Hallelujah. Fill it with understanding. Fill it with revelation. Fill it with compassion. Fill it with empathy. Fill it, Lord God, with your love. Fill it, Lord Jesus, with the unending bounty of my Father's nature. Grant it, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us be like Reverend Mr. Lilly. There as he struggles through the pond, the muck and the filth. And he finally is able to reach the water's level. And when he reached the water's level, he opens up. His pads come out. His stems come from down beneath the mud bed. And they push and they push. And finally, when he reaches the water's heights, whether it's 2 foot or 10, he'll keep going until he reaches the water's heights. And when he does, he'll lay right out on top of the water. And his beautiful bloom will start issuing forth from season to season, from cycle to cycle. He'll lay right out on top of the water. The bees will come in and get their portion. The butterflies will come in and get theirs. All kinds of insects will come by. People will walk by and they'll be smitten by its beauty. There he is. He's a servant. He struggled. He labored. Now he's opened up his entire being to be a benefit to others. Oh God, make me Reverend Mr. Lilly. Make me Reverend Mr. Lilly, Lord. Let me struggle through my muck. Let me struggle through all the things of my life. Let me lay out on top of the water, Lord God. Let me unfold the flowers of your beauty. Lord, let the passerby come. Let the butterfly come by, Lord God, the honeybee. Oh, Lord Jesus, maybe a wayfaring pilgrim, down and weary on their journey. Maybe they about reach the end of the road, but they come by and they sit down at that old pond of humanity. And they look over. They was thinking about jumping in that pond and taking their life. But instead, they looked over in the corner where I was set out. And all of a sudden, my flower, oh hallelujah, it permeated their soul. It brought something to them. Lord, make every member here of Happy Valley that way, Lord. I don't ask you to give us more money. I don't ask you to give her more, us more material things. But God, make us more like you. Make us more like you, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach us, Lord. Train us how to become like you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I bless your name tonight, Lord. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe. I accept. I confess. I confess. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship him now, children. Why don't you open your pods as it was, the arms, the pistols, your leaves, spread it out. Receive of the dewdrops of heaven. If you feel bitterness and hurt and all this toward individuals, oh, this person done this to me and that and the other. Look, Brother Bam said, if you want to stay with God, stay gentle. If you want to stay with God, stay gentle. Forgive. Take the high road. Take the road he took. Don't stoop down to the level of picking and fussing and arguing and fighting. That's beneath you. That's beneath you. Get on top of the pond, Lily. Get up on top. Open up. Open up. Let Jesus shine out through you. Sing, Harry King. Throw voice okay where you can sing. Let's worship him now. Maybe you're a lily and you love him and all that, but tonight you just feel like
You need to be refreshed. Why don't you just open up your heart, your arms, your mind, your spirit, your soul. Lord, I need a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes His refreshing comes in the form of shout. And we get so ecstatic and so emotional. My, I love those times. But there's other times, you know how it is, sometimes in the summer around here we get heavy, heavy downpours of rain. But a lot of these mountains around here, your yard's like mine, it's real steep. You know what happens to all that heavy rain? It washes off down in the bottom and washes away. But what I like whenever the ground's real dry and parched is a real slow rain. A good soaking rain. I love the good outpouring of the Holy Ghost, don't you? My, where we just shout and get so ecstatic. But sometimes, Brother Gary, I just need that slow rain from heaven. Where it just starts kind of sprinkling a little bit. Then it picks up a little bit more. It's getting a little bit louder on the roof and a little bit more. And it's like it just reaches that certain level that He knows where it needs to be. And it just comes down and comes down. An hour goes by and 2 hours and then 3 hours. And oh my, you've seen it as well as I have. The trees and the grass and your corn and your crops, whatever. It seems like in that rain, they're just being transformed. They're just opening up. Their leaves and all was just so tight and pulled up. That's the way we get real sticky and real mean and real hateful. And boy, it goes to rain and all of a sudden, oh, I love everybody. Oh, I love everybody. There you go. Just keep staying. Keep staying. Just get soaked. My, I hope we get so soaked here tonight. When we wash out, it's oh, hallelujah. What about it, lilies? You want to be soaked in His presence? Can we worship Him just a little bit before we go? Weather all right, brothers? It's not snowing and all that? Good. We got some time. We can stay there. Let's worship now. What do you want? What do you want in your cup? I lifted up my Lord.
Come and
hallelujah. Lord, I've got a thirst in tonight, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. My cup, Lord. Fill it up with mercy and forgiveness and gentleness and kindness and patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make me like a lily, Lord God. Let's sing it to it now, children. Oh, I lift it up. Come and this thirst of my soul, bread of heaven, won't you feed us till I want more? Here's my cup. Lord God, fill us up.
just a little bit of this just before we leave tonight. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Oh, now open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Lord, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Service tonight. Hadn't it been great? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Remember service in the morning at 11. If you need to leave, you can leave. If you want to stay, you can stay. Brother Harry, sing. Can you sing just a tad of I Am Redeemed? Just a little bit of that song tonight, just before we leave.
I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
Oh, yes.
Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's hard.